Welcome to Identity Church Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
There's this lady by the name of Heidi. She came to me. She sent me some information, and she felt like she wanted to share. And I'm like, yeah, okay, that's nice. Yeah, nice woman. And then I read it, and I realized that today she's bringing the word. So I want to introduce to you Miss Heidi.
Am I on? Can you hear me okay? Okay, cool. I just want to say that it's just such an honor to be here with you guys. Such an honor. I came to visit March of 2018, and I had never been to a church like this before. And I, from the worship to people giving me prophetic words to the actual message, I was just blown away. And I felt like I had just had a banquet, actually. And I went back to Colorado, and I was really frustrated because I'm like, where do I find this? How do I find this? You know? And so before I get started, I really felt like the Lord, I want to pray for the message, but I really felt like the Lord just wanted all of us to engage our spirits. So I'm going to ask you to either pray in the spirit if you pray in the spirit, sing in the spirit if you sing in the spirit. If you don't either of those, I want you just to speak out the names of God's character, like his goodness and his faithfulness and his kindness. So we're just going to do that just for a moment, because I really felt like the Lord just said, I want everybody's spirit engaged this morning. All right? So shada karana na karana yata kare shandara kiri andarara ria shandarara yandara kaniyanana. Lord, you are so faithful. You are so good, Lord Jesus. You are so merciful, Father. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We ask for you to be here. So God, we just thank you, Lord, today. God, I know that my words, they're just weak words. But Lord, I ask for your anointing, God, and I ask that your anointing would be on each word and would go into the hearts of the people. God, I know that each person is in a different place. They're in a different season of their lives. And I just pray, God, that that anointing would fall in their heart exactly where they are. And they walk out of this place hearing exactly what you wanted them to hear. God, that there would be 100 different messages going on in this place because of the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I ask that I would decrease so that you can increase. Make yourself huge in this place today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So I just kind of wanted to just share a little bit with you what my journey has been like. I've been here about 6 months, and the Lord had me in a really intense season when I was in Colorado. I was working at a dermatology office, and it was just really intense, and I didn't get as much time with him as I would have liked because my job was just all-consuming. And so when I moved out here, I felt like the Lord said, I'm going to bring you into a season of intercession and worship. And that's pretty much where he's had me for about 6 months. So waiting for that job or whatever that looks like. But that's where he's had me. And praise God for Gary and Kathy Walton. They are the most amazing people. Their house is so saturated with the presence of the Lord. And you guys are so blessed to have them as elders, because they're the same here as they are at home. And they're just amazing, godly people. And I'm so blessed by you guys. So when I got here, the two things I was really praying for was the government and the church. I was praying for the government because my brother's actually running for Congress in Iowa this November. So I've really been praying for him and, you know, just asking for righteousness in this nation. The other thing I was praying for is because last year I left my church that I've been going to for 9 years, and which made me have to check out different churches here in Florida and actually when I was still back in Colorado. And I jokingly call some of these churches the kiddie pool, because they were so shallow, you know, and I just felt like they were shallow and I was surrounded by pee. And I know that sounds bad, but what the Lord, I, Yeah. But I felt like what the Lord said to me, it was because these churches are letting so much of the world in that they're not allowing the church to transform them, but they're allowing the world to change them. And so the scripture verse that the Lord really put on my heart was Isaiah 5, verse 20. And it says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness." I started to repent for the ways the church had become like the world, because instead of the light piercing the darkness, the light was being dimmed by the darkness of the world. It was all beginning to look the same, and you could barely tell the difference between the world and the church. So as I continued to pray for both of these things, the Lord asked me a difficult question. He's like, "What is more important to you, that my bride, the church, would become a pure, spotless bride, or that there would be righteousness in the nation?" It's kind of a tough question. I want both. But I felt like the Lord, in his question, was asking me, if there is righteousness in the nation, some of the church will just stay in that complacent status quo place. So what's more important? So I'll let you guys think about that. The title of this message is called Love Without Props. Because when I came to Florida, I left everything. I left my friends, I left my family, I left my church, I left the best paying job that I had without any understanding of what's going to happen when I get here. And I know the Lord, he's done this to me before, because he likes our total dependence on him. And sometimes he likes to completely change up everything in our lives. So there's a greater dependence on him. So I was okay with this, but I'll be honest, like, I got a few months in and you're coming. Okay.
You're okay.
Okay. Sorry, not used to people close to my face. So anyway, I got a few months in and I started to get really disheartened and sad because the circumstances in my life, it didn't seem like God was moving in the way that I thought he should or in the timing that I thought he should. And I didn't have any answers. And so when I don't have any answers, I decided to worship. So I just worshiped him. And in the middle of that worship, I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, "This is what I want for my church. This is what I want for my bride. When it looks like you've come to the end of yourself and you still worship, this is what it looks like to love without props." It was also at this time that the Lord led me to a testimony of a man by the name of Andrew Brunson. I don't know if you've heard of him, but he was the Turkish pastor. He was doing actually a house of prayer in Turkey, and he was incarcerated for 2 years for his faith. And it wouldn't be such a big deal, except that when I was in Turkey, I actually met him. And I was doing the exact same type of ministry in Turkey as he was. And so it hit a little bit closer to home that, wow, my faith could like actually end me up in a prison. How do I feel about that? So I listened to his testimony, and a large part of his testimony was about how he couldn't access the presence of the Lord when he was in prison. He said he was surrounded with Muslims that were constantly calling on Allah. He tells about how he had anxiety and how he went crazy for a while. But he said, in the end, the Lord gave him the greatest gift. And that gift was that the Lord showed him his heart. Because he said, because of the hell that he was in, he was still able to say, "Jesus, I love you." And this made me question my own faith. If I was in this position, would I still be able to say, "Jesus, I love you," with all that craziness, with all that chaos, with all that going around me? So at the beginning of 2020, I randomly picked a message from IHOP, International House of Prayer, to listen to. I thought it was random, but God's never random with us. The message was about how in the past God would use evil dictators to discipline a nation, to wake them up. The message was from Isaiah 9 and 10. God had used Assyria, the dominant world power, to wake up Israel. And Israel had become very wicked. They were worshiping demons, they were oppressing the poor, they were burning babies, and their pride was soaring. So it says in Isaiah 9, verse 10, and this is speaking of Israel, who say with pride and arrogance of heart, the bricks have fallen down, but we will rebuild with dressed stone. The fig trees have been felled, but we will replace them with cedars. What Israel was basically saying was that if an enemy attacked them, they would just come back that much stronger. They would build with better bricks, better rocks, better trees, and they would keep their way of life, saying in their pride, nothing can touch us. But the repercussions of their arrogance was that God had sent their enemies to them. It says in verse 11 and 12, but the Lord has strengthened Rezin, the king of Assyria's foes, against them, and has spurred their enemies on. Arameans from the east and Philistines from the west have devoured Israel with open mouth. Israel's response to this attack is verse 13. But the people have not returned to him who struck them, nor have they sought the Lord Almighty. So they continue in their pride and their arrogance, and they continue to do what they have always been doing. And it says four times in this passage that the Lord's anger is not turned away from them, and he keeps coming at them. And it speaks of the devastations that come upon Israel. Finally, in Isaiah 10, verse 20, it says, in that day, the remnant of Israel, the survivors of the house of Jacob, will no longer rely on him who struck them down, but they will truly rely on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. So from this passage, we can see that God didn't take their sin lightly, and he didn't take their arrogance and pride lightly. They thought it didn't matter what they were doing because they were God's chosen nation. And after I listened to this, I'd heard the story before, and it never really had that much of an impact on me. I'm like, oh, that's Israel. That's nice. Whatever, you know. But I heard the Holy Spirit ask me, he's like, do you think this could ever happen to America? And it kind of took me off guard a little bit. Israel's major sin was their pride and arrogance. They thought it didn't matter what they did because they were God's chosen nation, and they didn't care that they weren't following his laws anymore. So the Holy Spirit was impressing on me to think about the level of pride and arrogance in America. If the Lord would treat us as he treated Israel, and if he did, how would we, specifically the church, respond? So all these questions have been stirring up in my mind, and I'm just going to go through a few of these with you. Felt like he was asking me, what if our religious freedoms were taken away? Would you still love me? He said, what if you had no place to worship me? What if your faith landed you in prison? Would you be offended? Would you still love me? Would you love me without any props? So there are no easy answers to any of these questions, and I know this is not something we like to think about, but I really felt like the Lord was challenging my heart in these questions, and I felt like he gave me Matthew 11, verse 6, which says, blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. So I asked him, how do you prepare your heart for any of these things? And I felt like his answer was to stay engaged in his love. He showed me the three ways that we stay engaged in his heart. The first way is how we receive his love. The second way is how we love him back. And the third way is how we love others, specifically the body of Christ. So how we receive his love. John 15, verse 9. I've been stuck on this verse for literally like 6 months. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. And it's so easy to gloss over that. Of course, Father loves the Son. Of course, he loves me. But if you think about that, as the Father loves Jesus, so Jesus loves us. He can't love us any less. It's not like, I have this love for Jesus, but for you, you know, you get this much love, you get this much love. Like, he loves with a fully engaged heart all the time. He has so much emotion over us. He who created everything, who is the beginning and the end. He had so much focus, intentionality, and passion towards his son. Think about it. When Jesus got baptized, God thundered from heaven. Like, he couldn't be quiet. This is my son whom I am loved, whom I'm well pleased, you know, because he loved his son from eternity. We can't even put our minds around how much love that is. And yet that's the exact same love that he loves us with. And if we can get even just a little bit of that revelation, it will change us. So he is jealous for us. He says in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2, I'm jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promise you to one husband, to Christ, so that I may present you as a pure virgin to him. The second way is how we loved him back. And I was praying to God, I was like, give me a greater heart to love you. How do I love you? Felt like the verse that he showed me was John 17, verse 26. And this is Jesus speaking to the Father. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. So that is Jesus asking the Father to put the same love that the Father has for Jesus in us. Like, we're going to be able to love people like God the Father loves Jesus. That's amazing. That's amazing. And yet that's the prayer that Jesus prayed. And we know if Jesus prayed it, it's going to come to pass because he's always in the will of God. So how many of your love is where this is at? Like, I feel like this is so key and we so gloss over this, but it's his love that takes us deeper and deeper and deeper is what's going to keep us. So the third way is how we love others, specifically the bride of Christ. And I know that I'm guilty of not loving the church as I should by my little example of the kiddie pool. However, I really believe that as we see ourselves in the future, we're learning to see or look at ourselves how Jesus sees us as children of God, as princes, as queens, as kings, as royalty, even though we're maybe not functioning in that, but we're starting to see ourselves there. I feel like the Lord is saying, I need you to see the body of Christ like that. I know that there's a lot of difficulty in the body of Christ. I know that there's things that you can look at and point out, and there's things that you can get upset about, but I want you to start seeing her as I see her, because I see her as a pure, spotless bride. And how will the church change if we actually see the bride of Christ like that? Ephesians 5, 25, 27, Christ loved the church and he gave himself up for her that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In Revelation 17, verse 9, the bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. So again, I felt like the key, the answer to these questions is to keep our hearts fully engaged with the Lord. It's too easy for us to become complacent and to get offended and to become cynical, and our hearts can grow cold. And that is where the enemy has his feeding ground and he can come in. So the Bible warns us in Matthew 24, verse 12, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Again, all these questions, I really believe that the Lord wanted me to share them with you. Maybe not that you'll be able to answer them, but just to think about them. I believe they are relevant to the times that we are living in. So I'm going to say them to you again. What if your religious freedoms were taken away? Would you still love me? What if you had no place to worship me? What if your faith landed you in a prison? Would you be offended by me? Would you still love me? Would you love me without any props? So the culmination for me for this last 6 months was my time in Cyprus. It was as if the Lord like brought all the answers to my questions in the faces of the people that I met. So many lived under oppressive governments where it's much more difficult to live out your faith. Yet they had so much joy and a conviction to follow the Lord no matter what their government allowed. And the one quote that I just can't get past is from an Iranian believer. He said he and his wife would not live in America because they could hear a demonic lullaby and they were getting sleepy. I think it is in the context of this quote that I give this message. When we get sleepy, we are not as alert and things go unnoticed. If we are honest, how many of us would say we are spiritually sleepy? Because I'm in regular communication with the persecuted church, I'm in a tension between the blessings of the American church and the difficulty of the other nations. So my prayer has been that the church in America will be awake and ready when or if persecution comes in a way that we haven't seen before. The Lord exhorts us in 1 Peter 4, verse 7, to be alert and sober mind so that you may pray. So if you take one thing from this message, I ask that each of you would pray into these questions and see what the Holy Spirit will show you. My prayer for all of us is that our hearts would stay fully alive to Jesus, because it is in his love that our hearts won't grow cold. He will help us through offense, and he will lead us in whatever troubles may come. I pray that we would posture our hearts to receive more of his love. He can never love us more, but our hearts can become more alive to receive more of his love. So one of my favorite songs is by John Thurlow, and it is called Fully in Love. And I'm just going to read the words to you. It says, the love that you have for Jesus, put it inside of me. Burn it on my heart like a seal, that in the famine of your presence, or in the floods of persecution, or in the comfort of the culture, it's still real. I want to read that line one more time. So in the famine of your presence, when we sometimes just can't get to him, or in the floods of persecution, whatever persecution may look like for us, or in the comforts of this culture, when there's so many things that can take the place of God, I just want a heart that is fully in love. One of the things that is clearly seen when you meet with the persecuted Christians is their love for God, but also their love for one another. Their bond to one another in the body of Christ is their lifeline. It's their breath, even more than their natural families. And this is what the Lord wants for us in the body of Christ. This is what makes a pure, spotless bride, is our need for one another. And I just want to commend this church again. As I began, I've never been to a church like this before. When Stephanie has us all up here holding hands, there is something that is happening in the spirit, and we are being bonded to one another in the power of his love. And we are just so blessed to be at this church. I love the way this church loves each other, and I know we are always growing in this, but this church, our body, is our lifeline in hard times. It is a very special thing that God is doing here. And he continues to bring the specific ones that he calls us to. That bond just becomes that much stronger. And I know he is bringing those people. I'm one of them. So I want us to stand, and I'm going to pray these questions again. I want to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to each of our hearts. And I want to pray that we can be honest with our answers, and that he would just anoint our hearts to receive more of his love, so that our hearts would stay engaged with him in any circumstance. All right? So Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence. We thank you that you know what is before us. You know what is happening to the church in America. You know what is happening to our government, Lord. And you know what is happening in each one of our hearts. And I thank you that you love to guide us, and you love to comfort us, and you love to prepare our hearts. So Lord, as I ask these questions to you, Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to each one of us. What if my religious freedoms were taken away? Would I still love you? What if I had no place to worship you? What if my faith landed me in a prison? Would I be offended by you? Would I still love you? Would I love you without any of the props? Thank you, Holy Spirit, because you are the same God that you are here as you are in the prison cells and the persecuted church. And I thank you because your love is greater than any circumstance we could ever go through. So, Lord, I pray that you would cause us to go deeper in that love. Give us a greater revelation of those verses. They're not just words. Each one of those verses are an eternity of revelation of your love. So, Lord, anoint our hearts with a greater understanding of your love. Thank you so much for being here with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.